Malachi 3:17. And they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. When I will restore my church according to my promise, they will be as my own property goods. Malachi 3:17. When I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son that serves him. When I will restore my church according to my promise, they will be my own property goods. Malachi 3:17. 2 Corinthians 1:12. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 1:12. For our boasting is this, the testimony of our conscience, that we conducted ourselves in the world in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 1:12. 1 Corinthians 15:46. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. 1 Corinthians 15:46. The spiritual did not come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. 1 Corinthians 15:46. Children, please stand for Bible class. Would you open your Bibles this morning, please, to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. Our purpose for being here today, as always, is to turn our attention away from the distractions of the world and focus our minds upon the eternal truths of God's Word. The more I study, the longer I live, the more I'm made aware of the fact that this time in which we live is such a wonderful, magnificent, marvelous, challenging time. You and I have the responsibility of understanding that God has an overall purpose and plan for us as a congregation and for us as individuals. We've said this many times over the last weeks, and that is that our existence is not an accident. We repeat that again today. Over and over again, I need to remind us that we're here because God wants us to be here. God has a plan and a purpose and a reason for our existence. And for that reason, we must understand that we have a responsibility as born-again believers to be diligent students of the Word of God. I cannot think of a time that could be any more important for us than right now, for us to be diligent and sincere and earnest and be consistent in receiving spiritual fuel for our souls and making application of that spiritual fuel. What a wonderful time to be alive. It's amazing to me in the study to find myself looking at all of these different verses that remind us that we're living in such a magnificent time when Jesus Christ could return at any moment. We could be living in the last moments. The last moments for us individually, the last moments for all born-again believers. The insert today points that out again, that we could be gone from this earth at any time. Before we begin our scripture reading, may we pray together, please. Father, these are important moments for all of us. We are aware of the fact that life at the longest is extremely short. We're keenly aware of the fact that these are magnificent days for us because you've allowed us to be alive and have the opportunity to focus our minds upon the eternal truths of your word. We thank you for the completed canon of scripture. We thank you for the wonderful ministry of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for salvation through Jesus Christ. We're thankful that we are your children, not because we deserve to be, but because of your matchless grace. The grace of God has been manifested so marvelously, and we're the recipients of that grace. We thank you so much for salvation grace. We thank you also for experiential grace, the opportunity to advance and to grow and to move forward in the Christian life. We pray that we will take advantage of the opportunities which we have to do that. We thank you also for the fact that you've given us in your word the opportunity to see that one of these days we will have dying grace. Thank you. Over and over again, thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name, amen. In our Bibles today, we turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10. I need to tell you at the outset that this to me is a startling verse. It's a penetrating verse. It's somewhat of a frightening verse, depending upon where you and I are in our Christian advance. 2 Corinthians 5:10 presents the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment seat of Christ. We put it down like this, J-S-C. Judgment seat of Christ. If you have your Bibles open to that passage, and I trust you do, let's look at it. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, "For all of us will be manifested before the tribunal, bema, judgment seat of Christ, in order that each one of us may receive the things done through the body, according to the things which he, she practiced, either good or either worthless." Most of you know me well enough to know that I get carried away with words. And I want you to understand today that some of the most challenging words, some of the most pungent words are found in our passage that you see on the screen today. It says, all of us. The Apostle Paul is writing to the believers in Corinth. When the Apostle Paul writes, he writes to believers. When you find yourself in the book of Romans, all the way through into the book of Hebrews, you will find many, many proclamations teaching us that we have the responsibility as believers to start out as a baby believer and continue our spiritual journey, advancing day by day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year. That's the reason why when you find yourself following the Apostle Paul's writings, you will discover that he's presenting so many magnificent truths that will help us to see that he begins with baby believers and then he moves as he advances the proclamation of truth so that people can see the importance of being advanced believers. That's the reason why when you take yourselves through the Pauline epistles, the discovering the various presentations of the Spirit of God through the Apostle Paul, and getting over into 1 and 2 Thessalonians, you will find magnificent truths in relationship to how God led the Apostle Paul to teach people how not to be or continue to be baby believers. All of us, one of these days, after the rapture takes place, we'll face what is presented to us in 2 Corinthians 5:10. That's the reason why we put an insert in the bulletin today for you to take a look at it. Most of us are familiar with the timeline. Most of you are able to understand, because of how powerful this is, that when the rapture takes place, there are some things that will be taking place on the earth, but there will also be some things taking place in heaven. You see it in this diagram. We're only emphasizing one aspect of it today, and that is the judgment seat of Christ. It says, for all of us, all believers, will be manifested. The reason why I'm trying to emphasize this powerfully is to let you see that you're involved in this. No one in this auditorium as a believer is being left out. That's the reason why, if I could shout it, I would. The voice is louder, I'm sure you recognize. And the reason for it is because I want you to see that I'm reading a verse of Scripture today where you are involved and I am involved. No one, as a born-again believer, is being left out here. I'm sure that you're able to see, and most of you have understood through the years, that the Scripture emphasizes what you and I can do as believers. That it can either be agathos, good, God's good, or it can be phalos, which is worthless, base, no good whatsoever. And you see that presented so magnificently in this verse of Scripture. The reason why I'm saying things as loudly as I'm saying today is because I want you to see that this is very personal. It's personal with me. And it's personal with every person hearing my voice as a believer in Jesus Christ. This is the judgment seat of Christ. Take a look at it again. For all of us will be manifested before the tribunal judgment Bema of Christ. I may be presenting to you some words that are a little different. That's okay. Because I want you to see what we have here in the Greek text. All of us, no one left out here as a born-again believer. The Apostle Paul is writing to the Corinthian believers. He's writing to believers. We're believers in Jesus Christ. Amen. And we're going to face this time known as the Bema, or the judgment seat of Christ. I don't want you to be too frightened by it, by what I'm saying so far, because I want you to see that there's a total picture for us to behold. All of us will be manifested before the tribunal, the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ. Did you notice I'm using different words here? I'm using different words to express what is found in the original text. If you'll take a look, you will discover And I'll point it out for you to see. Some of you are following along in your Greek text. Some of you are just following along in the King James or whatever version you have. I'm reading this to you again. All of us will be manifested. I could get into the different Greek words, but I will not do that other than to tell you that this particular word is an infinitive verb. Infinitive, wish or desire. This is saying that it is God's plan for us to understand that He desires for us to understand that there's coming a point of time after the rapture that there's going to be the Bema seat, the judgment seat of Christ. Notice, if you will, it's translated different ways. Translated judgment seat of Christ, translated tribunal, it's translated Bema. Some people say Bema, and some people say Bema. Okay, let's just put that on the screen for you. I came in here today and I just wrote this out. Beautiful writing, isn't it? B-E-M-A. If you're following along in your Greek text, I want you to see what we have here. The reason why some people say Bema is because this is a Greek letter, eta. Epsilon is B-E-M-A. If you put eta and translate it as an A, it would be Bema. Not getting hung up on this. For all of us will be manifested. All of us will come to the point of the judgment seat of Christ. There's coming a time when each one of us will face what is known as the Bema, the judgment seat. I try to come to the conclusion of what I could do in the brief period of time that I'm presenting this today. I could go into this in great detail, or I can give you a summary. And I decided to give you a 14-point summary. I realize that you can't write all of this, so just abbreviate it. The word Bema, B-E-M-A, is found in the Gospel and Acts, presenting a raised platform where a Roman magistrate or ruler sat to make decisions and make plans to present a sentence. Matthew 27:19, John 19:13. I'm trying to define for you very quickly the word Bema, B-E-M-A. It's used in the Gospel and Acts of a raised platform where a Roman ruler sat to make decisions and pass sentence. Secondly, a Bema is used in the epistles by the Apostle Paul because of his many allusions to the Greek athletic contest. So the Apostle Paul is understanding some things about the athletic contest of the day. Number three, the word Bema then was taken from the Isthmian Games, where the contestants would compete for the prize. The winner, the victor of a given event, would be led by the judge to the platform called the Bema. And there, the wreath would be placed on his head as a symbol of victory. This is presented to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 24 and 25, if you want to put that down. Number four, the Apostle Paul is picturing the believer as a competitor in a spiritual contest. as the Grecian athlete appeared before the bema to receive a perishable award, so the Christian will appear before Christ, the bema, to receive an imperishable award. Number five, the judge of the bema bestowed rewards to the winners. He did not whip the losers, nor did he sentence him to hard labor. I hope you're getting the picture. Number six, the bema portrays a time of rewards or loss of rewards following an examination, but not a time where believers are judged for their sins. That would be inconsistent with the total work of the Lord Jesus Christ. All of our sins have been bought and paid for. Trying to let you see the total picture. Number six, the bema portrays a time of rewards or loss of rewards following examination, but not a time where believers are judged for their sins. That would not be consistent with the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Number seven, the grace of God covers past, present, and future sins. The Apostle Paul spells this out in Colossians 2:13. Ephesians 2:8 and 9, for by grace you're saved through faith, and not none of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any one of us should boast. Number eight, bema, the question is when? When? The answer is, there's no judgment presented in John 3:18 or John 5:24 or John 6:37 or Romans 5:1 or Romans 8:1. No judgment presented in these verses of Scripture. So number nine, again, when? Bema, when? This event will occur, listen carefully, immediately following the rapture. You can see that in the diagram of the insert that you have in your bulletin today. This event will occur immediately following the rapture, when the church is caught up according to 1 Thessalonians 4:13 and following. The trumpet of the Lord shall sound. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Those of us which remain are alive shall be caught up together in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. We're dealing with the subject of the judgment seat of Christ, called here in the Scripture the tribunal or the bema, B-E-M-A. Number nine, again, when? This event will occur immediately following the rapture, when the church is caught up according to the teachings of the Apostle Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4:13. Number 10, place. The place of the bema. The event will occur somewhere in the heavenlies, in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm following through slowly to let you see the place of the bema. The insert that you have in your bulletin is a magnificent picture of what's taking place on the earth as far as the tribulation is concerned, what's taking place in heaven. We have two things presented there. We'll deal with the other one later. One is the judgment seat of Christ. The other is the marriage of the Lamb. Beautiful, magnificent, wonderful presentation in the Word of God related to that subject. Number 11, Bema. Who are the participants? All the passages dealing with the Bema are rewards, are addressed to born-again believers. Romans 14, 10, 11, 12. 1 Corinthians 3, 12. 2 Corinthians 5, 9. Titus 2, 12, 13, 14. We're talking about the participants in the Bema, the judgment seat of Christ, the tribunal. Believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen carefully. All believers, regardless of their spiritual state, will be raptured and will stand before the Bema to give an account of their lives and will either receive rewards or loss of rewards. This is presented to us magnificently in the Scripture in this verse, because it emphasizes two different types. One is agathos, intrinsic good, God's good. The other is a Greek word that you've heard a number of times over the last 45, 50 years, thalos, which is the Greek word for base, dung, worthless, no good. If you're with me, you're seeing something now. And that is, when you are living your life in fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ, that adds up to God's good, vertical good, divine good, agathos. When you and I live our lives out of harmony, out of fellowship, under the control of our old sinful nature, rather than under the control of the Spirit of God and the Word of God, it adds up to phalos, worthless, base, no good. Energy of the flesh, activity. Number 12. Who's the examiner here? Judgment seat of Christ. None other than the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our examiner. The reason I said to you at the beginning of this service, this could be pungent, powerful, challenging, perhaps even a little on the frightening side. We're brought face to face with the practical aspects of our lives. You and I will be brought face to face with the practical aspects of our lives. This is not a time of punishment. Here we have the importance of the elimination of the energy of the flesh activities. Here we have the elimination of human good, horizontal thinking called phalos, dung, worthless, no good, excrement, base, no value. Why am I reading this? I'm reading it because I want to be sure that you're hearing what is being said from the Word of God. We're reminded here of the many times we've failed to deal with our sinful ways, the many times we grieved and quenched the Holy Spirit, the many times instead of operating by faith in God's provisions, we operated in the energies of the flesh. I'm not talking to anyone. I'm talking to all of us. The Spirit of God is speaking to all of us. So often we find ourselves self-centered, self-centered desires, lack of true interest in that which is eternal. We're reminded here of the many times we have failed to deal with our sinful, disobedient ways. The many times we've grieved and quenched the Holy Spirit. The many times, instead of operating by faith in God's provisions, we operated outside of the filling of the Holy Spirit. And this is the reason why we're looking at 2 Corinthians 5:10. Believe it or not, point 14. I want to consider some positive aspects related to this. Some of you may have been feeling very uncomfortable, and you've been hearing it not from a positive but from a negative standpoint. But let's look at the positive side. To evaluate the quality of every believer's work, whether it is good or bad. Agathos, intrinsic good, or on the other hand, unworthy. This should be a reminder to us. When I look at this verse, I'm so amazed by it. I'm also amazed by what I'm seeing in the verbs. I see here all of us will be manifested before this bema, this tribunal, this judgment. And I see that this is an infinitive which says God has a desire. We have to see the overall plan, the purpose of God. I find this in Ephesians 1:9. I went back again this morning before I came to church, and I looked at Ephesians 1:9, and I thought, oh my, our congregation needs to hear this. In this year, 2020, we need to have 2020 vision. We need to go back to Ephesians 1:9 and see that God is presenting to us the importance of understanding that He has a plan, a purpose, a design for us individually and for us as a church body. For us to see the overall magnificent, beautiful plan of God for us. I've told you before that the Lord has allowed me to dream. And I'm not talking about having a nightmare. I guess it could be that, but it's not. I dream. It's not dreaming at night, it's dreaming. And I dream about how God could bless this congregation 10 years from now, 20 years from now, 30 years from now, 40 years from now, if the rapture doesn't occur. And my heart beats rapidly. And my life just goes into, how can I explain it? For I know that God has a magnificent plan for this church long after Joyce and I are in heaven. And I'm so excited about that. I am thrilled about that. And I have a lot of thoughts. And some of these thoughts I put down on paper. Some of these thoughts are far-fetched, far-out ideas. I dream about some things. There are various things that happen in my life where I've been able to see how many of these things could possibly come to pass. And I know that God owns all the cattle on 1,000 hills. There's no restrictions with Him. Let me tell you for sure. I don't know, but I do know who's in charge. And I'm excited about that. And I know also, don't let this bother you. God knows who's to do what and how in the future. And let me tell you something that you already know. Any old bush will do when God's in charge of putting the fire in the bush. Now, some of you are getting that, and some of you are having a little trouble with it, but that's okay. When I look at this verse, it says all of us, no one missing, all of us will be manifested. And I look again at this verb and I see it's a passive voice. I see that it's an infinitive. It shows a wish or desire that God has. For all of us, God has a desire for us to know that we're going to be facing this bema, this judgment seat of Christ. For this reason, in order that is known as a hina clause in the Greek, H-I-N-A. Beautiful, a hina clause. That each one may receive. I could go into a discussion here, but time will not permit. The things that we've done while we were in this body. Do you realize that you, the real me, right now, is in a body? You came in here in this auditorium today. The real you came in to this auditorium in a body. But the real you and the real me is not this body. I know you know that. You're far, far more than just the body. One of these days, that body is not going to be here. But you are going to continue to be. This says the things done while we're on the earth in the body. According to those things which we practiced. In one verse of scripture in the book of Romans, there is a unique presentation of the word do. It is used four times in one verse, and in the Greek language, each one of those four do's is a different Greek word. Most amazing thing you've ever seen. And one of those is what we have right here, and it's the word practiced. You and I, every day we live, we're practicing something. Whether you want to agree or think about it or not, we're practicing. We're either in fellowship with the Lord, cleansed of sin, filled with the Holy Spirit, sensitive to His direction, or either we're disobeying Him and we are opposing His plan and we're under the control of our old sinful nature and we're not doing what He wants us to do. And with that taking place, it is not agathos, intrinsic good. It's phallos, base, excrement, dung, worthless. I need to come back to this subject, don't I? But you've got the 14 points. Let's bow for prayer, please. Father, thank you for the opportunity to think about what you're saying to us. You're reminding us that no matter how many days we have on the earth, we're here because you want us to be here. And you have a plan. And that plan is to be carried out by individuals as believers, doing what is right, being in harmony, in a right relationship with Jesus Christ, knowing that one of these days we're going to face the bema, the tribunal, the judgment seat. And the scripture says that we're going to give an account, not in relationship to our sins, not in relationship to our salvation, but in relationship to rewards. Help us to understand this. Challenge us by these words of your wonderful scripture. And as we close the service today, we would remind those who've not accepted Jesus Christ as Savior that the greatest need of any person on the earth is to be born again. Because the scripture says, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. The scripture teaches us very vividly that salvation is by faith alone in Christ alone. Jesus Christ left heaven's glory, became the God-man, went to the cross, died on the cross, was buried, came forth out of the grave, victorious over sin and the grave and hell, and makes possible salvation to anyone who will believe. We pray that there will be those today who will believe, who will accept you. Because the scripture says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. The scripture says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Father, thank you that you did all of this for us, and we are the recipients of your matchless grace. We thank you for your blessings in Jesus' name. Amen. Be back here in about 15 minutes.